Almighty God. When I first came up here, I didn't know that Jesus was pre-incarnate God, pre-incarnate Son of God. I didn't know that. And so I came up here and I started looking at the scriptures and I said, good grief. It says he's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And so I started praying. Man, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for years and asked God to help me understand that. Well, I had gained a pretty good understanding of it, but after Leonard came up here and Leonard started studying it, I started studying it some more, and through Leonard's help and my own study, I figured out a lot of things by God's Spirit leading me. If he wasn't leading me, this might all be wrong, but he doesn't bother me about it. I don't know any other way to operate with the Lord. If you ask him and all of a sudden he's showing you things, and Leonard comes up here and I listen to some of the things he says, listen to some of the things Ken says, look, study, 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 then I finally say, okay, I think I've got this partially. But the more I study this, the more I'm certain of it. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this because it's the glorification of the Son of Man. They did teach me in the seminary about the humanity of Christ. They taught me that he was a genuine, 100% flesh and blood man, that is, his body was, that the body was prepared for him by God in Mary's womb, and that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So I accepted that, and I believed that, and I still do. But I kept running into this Son of David and Son of Man and different things, and Jesus kept calling himself both those titles, that I thought, there's a lot more to this than I thought. So I've been saying, well, how do you separate all this? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ was a flesh and blood, human, sinless man by the seed of a woman in a woman's womb, formed without any sin whatsoever, whose father was literally God. But it was the office of the Father, and there was the office of the Son, and there was the office of the Holy Spirit, what I think the Bible refers to as the Godhead. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But once I began to understand the humanity of Christ, and I had understood that from school and from being grown up and dragged up to church when I was in northern Arkansas. And so I knew that was right. But I think there were some things that happened in the Old Testament that are very interesting. And I think that what Jesus said in John 17:17-24 is very, very interesting. The glorification of the Son of Man to be Almighty God. Not that he wasn't already Almighty God, but that was Christ. He was Christ incarnate in the Old Testament, lifting up glorified man, who fills the three offices of God. The everlasting Father, that's one office. Only begotten Son, that's this other office. And the Holy Spirit. But they are one. Now, you can go back and do a lot of historical work on this, but I'm interested in what is he right now? And in John 17:17-24, he's speaking to the disciples. Now remember, we've already been through John 14. We've been through all that where he talked to Thomas and where he identified himself as being God. And we've been through John 10 where he said, I and the Father are one. And we've studied this here incessantly over the last year. And rightly so. I'm very thankful that we did. Because to know who he is has really helped me a lot. Because it's made me love him more. And it's made me more grateful for what I have. Sanctify them. Chapter 17. He's talking to the disciples. There's nobody else there. He's talking to the 11 disciples. He's talking to the disciples. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth, the 11 disciples. Thy word is truth. As he hath sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. The disciples. He's praying to the Father And it was the Father that drew the disciples to Jesus. And it was the office of the Father that drew me to Jesus. Because I knew about God, but I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know what I should know. So have I sent them into the world? He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself. He was already sanctified. He never sinned once in his whole life. But he's going to ascend up into heaven and he's going to be sanctified. He's going to be set apart where there'll be no argument about who he is. He's Almighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Counselor. He's all these things. He's God among us. As for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Who is Jesus? He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. That's the fullness of God. Neither pray I for these alone, it gets over on us, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Okay, why are we so, I guess you might call it picky-uni, and rightly so. Why are we so picky-uni about worshiping the Lord just the way he told us? Is it because we're legalists? Oh my goodness, no. We get more criticism for being legalist than we do for anything else. We get more criticism for taking the Lord's Supper as a closed ordinance of the church. We get criticized for believing what's called scriptural baptism. We get criticized for teaching security of the believer. So nobody can really accuse us of saying, you're legalist. Well, if all you do is learn a bunch of rules and you don't ever let the word work on you, I suppose you are a legalist. I didn't know how to love people when I came up here. I loved people, but I didn't know how to love them the way the Lord said to love them. And it's been a great marvel to me. And this was written to us. He's praying for us, them, and he's praying for those that come after them. He says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. You know what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is? Unity. Unity. And we should be in unity, in fellowship, and we should forgive one another of whatever we have against one another. And we should take the Lord's Supper in fellowship as a local New Testament church. We don't have to like the same carpets. We don't have to have the same exact religious beliefs. But when it comes to the way you worship God, when you come to God, you should be scripturally baptized if you're going to worship him. Properly. You should observe the Lord's Supper the way he instructed. That's doing it properly. And you should believe in security of the believer. How are you going to worship somebody that you think is going to run off and leave you the first time you goof up? It doesn't work that way. And when he forgave them from the cross, I believe what he said. And when Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the Lord for the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind, that they also may be one in us. Guess who I have? Guess who we have here this morning? We have Jesus. He's here. The fullness of the Godhead is in this assembly right now. How do I know? The Bible indicates in Ephesians 2:22 that he's here. So if you could see him here, I don't think you'd have any problem whatsoever in worshiping him. But faith is not by sight. You're being here and him being here and you can't see him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, how do you know he's here? Well, Gloria's still with us. And he's answered a lot of prayers for this church. He's still watched over us. Mixed. been flying a long time and he hadn't been killed. And Hungry's been overeating for years, but God hadn't killed her yet. So we are one, and we want to stay one. And you can't stay one in union except in faith, hope, and love. We may not agree on the time of the rapture or some other things. But if we don't agree on the time of the rapture, I don't think that's a doctrinal issue. It is with me, but most of the other brethren don't believe that. So if I'm going to make them to stumble by telling them it's unscriptural, then I'll run them all off and they'll hate me even more. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Well, when I was saved, there wasn't any question in my mind that God had sent Jesus. I knew he had. Because I'd been taught about him. A lot of times Sunday school teachers that teach in the back and put up with age groups, especially juniors, but they're all a pain in the neck sometimes. But you're back there because you love them. And you get discouraged sometimes because you think they're not paying attention. They are, in their way. And I did in my way. And when the night I got saved, I knew who I was going down to let save me. It was the Lamb of God. The one I'd seen in the picture holding the lamb. And I knew he died for me. And I knew he died for me on a cross. I didn't know he was Almighty God. I didn't know he was the Everlasting Father. I didn't know he was the Holy Spirit. You don't have to know all that to be saved. All you have to do is to know that you need a Savior. And without a Savior, you're a gone gosling. And when you come to him, he saves you. Well, what happens if you doubt? If you keep coming to church, you stop doubting so much. Because after you keep coming to church for a while, you'll understand something that you never understood before. The love of God that he has for you, and the patience and the long-suffering he has for every one of us here. Now he says that they may be one even as we are one. Now that's pretty plain. There's one God. And Jesus was glorified. And he was a man made in a woman's womb. But in him was all the fullness of the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God, that had been in the Godhead from the Garden of Eden. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, teleos, in one. A mature church, a complete church, doesn't go by the number of people you have attending. It goes by how much faith God knows they have, how much hope God knows they have, and how much love they have for one another, which is a direct reflection of how much love they have for him. And when church members realize, and when I begin to realize, the only reason I love God's because he first loved me. Because he had to teach me how to love. He had to teach me how to forgive. You say, well, that just comes natural. That's a bunch of bull. It doesn't come natural. It's just not natural. And we all have a natural tendency to distrust one another, to have evil fancies about one another, to not believe that the motives of someone are pure, to doubt our motives, do all that. I'll tell you, the same Jesus that said from the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," said to let his mind be in them, which be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul, who wrote down what Jesus' Spirit inspired him, the Holy Spirit, said, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So if we don't learn to forget, we pay for it. It doesn't hurt the person that you're getting mad at or irritated with and questioning their motives and do everything. You said, "Well, I'll bet you do that, Pastor. I'll bet you're right. But I'll bet you I did it back when I didn't know any better. And I'll bet you that I when it starts in my mind, I cut it off like Barney Fife. Snip it in the bud. And you just go on from there. You say it can't be done. God can do it. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, which thou hast given me. Now remember, this is written to the disciples and all of them in churches that were like that afterwards and still teaching the same thing, like Thomas and the rest of them. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. It was God's plan in the Garden of Eden, the Godhead, of whom the Son of God was a living part, the pre-incarnate Christ. It was the will of the Godhead that one man, a body should be provided him, a perfect body, in a woman without sin. And nobody knew who he was when he was coming, but it took a long time. But God works the way, the time schedule that he sets. And lo and behold, God overshadowed her, the Godhead, and in her was formed the living Son of God in a man, the seed of God. But Jesus has always been. Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. When you realize all the trouble that God went to just for you and for me, you ought to want to serve him. I want to serve him. But God knows it took me a long time to actually want to do it. He says, Daniel prophesied Jesus' glorification. I think Daniel 7:13 is a prophecy of when the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of David, would be glorified to all the fullness of Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Prince of Peace. I think this is what happened. Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Many times in the Bible, God has, Daniel and others have visions, and they see things that later on need to be interpreted. And I think that this is something in this vision that Daniel saw where he's talking about the glorification of Jesus Christ. And the man, and the kingdom he was to rule at his second advent. Next verse in Daniel. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He is Almighty God right now. And he is the Everlasting Father right now. And he is the Holy Spirit right now. And he is Jesus Christ glorified as God, one God, operating in three offices. And it's quite a plan. And once you begin to look at it, you say, how could anyone do this? I talk to him sometimes, and I was talking to him last night, and I said, Lord, I have no idea how you do this. But I know you do it. Well, how do I know he does it? I've known that since the night I was saved. I've looked up at the sky, and I've said, how does he know what is happening on all of the universe? And do you know what? I just knew that he did it. I always had a curiosity, and I tell God, I said, I'd like to know how you do this, but I said, I know you did it. And that's the way it works. Isaiah showed Jesus was to be God's fullness. This is the fullness of God. This is the glorification of Jesus Christ. This is when the man became God Almighty. And Isaiah also predicted it. He came in a manger in Bethlehem. In that babe dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but he went to heaven and was glorified as God, as a man. And he is God, the one God. He fulfills all three of these offices. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the name of the Holy Spirit, really. Counselor, the Mighty God. The Holy Spirit is called a Paracletos. The word's not Paracletos, but it's the wonderful aspect of the Holy Spirit being here with us right now in the person of the Godhead in Christ Jesus, who is here as the Holy Spirit, because Christ said he was going to send him back. All this fits together like a glove, two gloves together, two hands together. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. It goes on forever. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. He's the son of David. He's the son of man. He's the son of God. And in him dwells all of them together as one. It's a man. And his name is Jesus. And to establish it with judgment. And upon his kingdom to order it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. Who's going to do all this? The zeal of the Lord of hosts. That's the mighty God. That's actually the pre-incarnate Christ. Because it was always intended that he would be one God. And God would do all these things through him. Why? Because God wanted him to have all the glory. And it says Jesus will lay down his crown before him. That's when there is a surrender of the Godhead in perfect unity. And guess who he's going to be protecting? Guess who's going to be watching over us for all eternity? Guess who we're going to get to see forever? Jesus Christ as the mighty God, as a light that can transform itself into anything but a bright, blinding light. And we won't have to have any doubt of secure the believer anymore, because we'll be looking at the one who planned the whole thing and did it all by himself. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus gave the sign of Jonah as glorification. Here's what he said. Jonah in the whale's belly, or the great fish. Matthew 12:38-40. And certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from them. These people were lost and headed straight for hell, every one of them. Saying unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and it was a whale, but it was a big one, in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then he resurrected himself. And only God can do that. 10 horns plus beast attacked Israel before the second advent. You can read this. You've been taught it for 40 years. And so I'm not even going to talk about this, because you know it as well or better than I do. But what we have on this first sheet, when you get to heaven by your faith in Christ Jesus, I want you to think about how you're going to explain to him your life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How are you going to explain it to him? You say, well, I don't care about rewards. I don't care about the inheritance. I don't care about living in the city. What about your kids? Where do you want your kids to live? What kind of garments do you want your kids to have? What type of glorified body do you want? This isn't just for old people, it's for young people too. And it's something you better think about, because we're finally down to the last apple in the barrel. And it's time to seriously consider all this while you still have time. I've tried almost the whole time I've been here, I've tried to learn as much as I could. And